Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A new interactive television dimension is ready to be unleashed next month. Next Playground. Hear all about it when Chief Executive David Lee joins me next in Internet Radio Exclusive. For decades, Sid and Marty Krofft were the titans of live-action Saturday morning television and variety primetime TV. And over this Thanksgiving weekend, Marty Krofft passed away at the age of 86. We will celebrate his life and creations with Brother Sid next half hour. Also ahead, Bob Iger previews Disney TV 2024, Lily Singh's new TV direction, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and Tuner Radio, and presenting the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour this Monday is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Great to have you with us on this Monday after Thanksgiving 2023, wherever you are across the country, around the world. We welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. 50 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. I hope you all had a fantastic extended holiday weekend. I certainly did with my family and friends, ballroom dancing on Friday and Saturday and Sunday after Friday night, Sunday afternoon with my cousin Carol. Shout out to her and son Matthew for a great, great time with her family members on Thursday with all the food and the football. And we're happy we're all back together. We have a great guest coming your way. We have a very special celebration, too, on Marty Krofft, who was on this program when Sid and Marty Krofft did one of their final original television series and their first at the time for cable back in 2015. We'll tell you all about that as part of our tribute next half hour. And we want to hear from you throughout. So give us a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or Tuner Radio. And don't forget to use our chat room. It's SimonApple04. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with others, interact with them too, by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune, Screen, follow the instructions, and other people to be live and interacting with you. And David Lee from Next Playground, live interacting with us from San Jose, California, after these news notes. What does Walt Disney have up its sleeve for its gallery of television enterprises? Chief Executive Bob Iger is expected to vote some directions on what and when in 2024 tomorrow during an employee town hall. This is the second straight year Walt Disney has conducted a year-end of November or near-end of November event of this type. Former YouTube and NBC Late Night personality Lily Singh is moving into drama series making. Singh's Unicorn Island Productions is putting together Arzu, that's A-R-Z-U, Arzu, with Bridgerton star Charitha Chandran as a heiress escaping scandal times in India for a high society life on her own terms in New York. Bridgerton writer Fatika Lizard will write and showrun Arzu, and Blink 49 Studios will collaborate with Unicorn Island, that's Singh's company, on the series. Hallmark Media will take a big plunge in unscripted series presentations next year. Up first, Celebrations with Lacey Chabert, where one of Hallmark's top made-for-TV movie stars sets up surprise events on 3 days' notice for deserving kids, adults, and families. 10 episodes will appear next fall on Hallmark Movies Now, the company's on-demand mega-content service. Now, quickies. The Late Show on CBS will be in rerun mode again this week, starting tonight. Host Stephen Colbert is recovering from appendix surgery he had last week. Roku is less than an hour away from having its stock reach and hold at $100 a share or higher for the first time. The price at noon was $7 above Friday's close, and Roku officials have not detailed publicly any rationale for the price climb. Prime Video's new adult toon series, Has Been Hotel, based on the YouTube-presented pilot, will premiere January 19th. Voice cast includes Stephanie Beatriz, Alex Brightman, and Erica Henson. And Elliot Silverstein, the episodic TV director whose experience with the classic The Obsolete Man episode, The Twilight Zone, led to the formation of a Directors Guild landmark bill of creative rights in the 1960s, passed away Thanksgiving weekend in Los Angeles. Silverstein went on to direct Cat Ballou, a Best Actor Oscar winner for Lee Marvin, A Man Called Horse starring Richard Harris, and other hit movies. Silverstein was 96. We'll have more about what Silverstein did with The Obsolete Man episode of The Twilight Zone that had that Director's Bill of Rights happen in the mid-1960s, a very, very big situation for all television film directors. We'll have that for you on Friday's episode. And that is news notes for today. If there's anybody out there who still thinks that interactive TV, as we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for years, is not happening, well, you may have that thinking transformed after you hear our next guest. He is the chief officer of a new product called Next Playground. It is an interactive TV service that's going to be launching next month through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and a plug-in that you use to get all sorts of unique activities you use with your body language. And we should point out that recently, Next Playground has been named one of the 200 best inventions of the year by Time Inc., the parent of Time Magazine. Joining us live from San Jose, California, David Lee. David, happy after Thanksgiving. Happy to be with you on the program. David, go ahead. Hold on for 1 second. And we'll try to get David back. He is with us live from San Jose. Let's see if we finally have him. David, are you there?
Hello, hello.
There you are. Welcome to the program. Happy to have you here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, you're on. You are on, David. David, go ahead. We're on the air. David, for some reason, we're not hearing you. So give us a call back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you ready to call back, we will put you on the air. So we're going to have David call back. Let me see if we finally do have him. And we apologize, everybody. We had him, and for some reason, we weren't able to hear. Let's see if we have him now. All right, David, are you listening? Are you here?
Yes, I am here.
There we go. Go ahead. It's great to have you on the program. So, David, tell us about Next Playground, because next month is your big debut.
Yes. So, first of all, very excited to be here talking to you guys. And I hope you guys also have a really great Thanksgiving weekend as well. So, David, first, what is Next Playground? I'm actually holding one in my hand right now. So it's our cube. And feel like a Rubik's Cube, but it's a little bit bigger. You can actually hold it in one hand. And it has a camera on it. And it's the camera which actually tracks your body motion and enable new kind of experience that we can deliver to the big screen. We also ship with our remote control, a cylinder remote control, which really let you navigate the system and basically pick the experiences you want to play. And after you pick the experiences, like the camera will take control and let you interact it with your full body. And on the playground, there are 20 games on it, and 19 of them will be shipped before the end of this year. We're shipping one more early January, and we keep creating more. By the end of next year, 2024, I think we would be having 40 games on it. And the game is designed for like family time and a lot of different activities on it. We'd love to hear you more, but would like, you know, hear your question first.
Now, this device is plugged into a smart TV set or smart TV device. Who are the smart TV set makers and device makers that you're working with to apply Next?
So the output is HDMI. So basically we work with any device that can take an HDMI input. So it actually work on pretty much any smart TV out there, any modern TV which get HDMI input, you can basically plug this device in and enjoy experience there.
Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, just joined us. Rick, you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. And Rick, stick in with us for our second half hour. I'd love to hear your thoughts about Sid and Marty Krofft, Sid and Marty Krofft, and the shows you loved growing up that they produce. So stay with us. We'd love to have you on as part of our second half hour. Dave, we'll get into how this was created in a bit. But first, tell us about some of the games and some of the activities that people have created for this playground.
Sure. So the games are created by 4 internal game studios at Next and 5 other studio partners which are all over the world. We have studio partners in Belgium, in France, in New Zealand, in Hong Kong, and our 4 game studio in Next, they're based in, 2 of them based in San Jose, 3 of them based in Hong Kong. And the game is basically a pretty big variety, but we want to focus on games that really fully leverage your body motion. And like we create games like the simplest game or one of the first games we create, like a whack-a-mole game, which is like highly rated by our beta testers. It would detect you, put you, and you seeing yourself on screen too, And then we basically, both will show up, and then basically you whack them as you show up, and we teach them different kinds of modes, and they're really great for a family time with younger kids. It support one player, two player, and you know, family can have really fun times with like whacking mode and enjoying the challenge that both give you. Sometimes fire show up, sometimes the both would, you know, have something like, you know, that interesting they do. You need to wait until there's a time to whack them. So there's only one of the game. We have also our music rhythm game that is called Starry, which we have partnership with all major music labels in the world, Sony, Universal, Warner, and have bring songs from, like, you know, Sia, from Lady Gaga, from Ariana Grande, like, you know, really, really good music. And then we basically give you instruction to teach people to dance as part of the game. We also have a basketball game called Basketball Knockout. And it's similar that you would go to an arcade and you have a pop-up shot machine in front of you, and then you would basically be picking a basketball and shoot those baskets. We actually have a simulation of that, and it really tracks your hand really well, so you can actually have, like, control how high you throw the ball, like the direction you throw the ball, and all that. And we have, like, a two-player version of the game as well, so that basically two people can compete for a higher score. And obviously the hoop would move, and that could also be power up that you can use. It basically go beyond what, you know, what a proper shot physical machine would be like. So sports is one of our specialty. We also have a soccer goalkeeper game as well, which basically put you into a first-person perspective. You know, the soccer ball was coming at you, and it would be, you could block it and defend your goal. We also have games like a game called Juggler. It's by our studio partner based in Denmark. And he created a really great Kinect game called Foo. Was a highly rated game back in the Kinect days. And he looked in our system and think this would be really great for his creation. So he created a new game called Juggler. You can imagine that game is that you would be converted of your body into a stick man in the game that would be juggling this virtual ball. And you basically just kind of juggle the ball from left to right and to hit a specific area. Like my daughter and I had a really fun time. We spent the whole hour playing that game yesterday when we were testing it. So this is only a few of the games that would be available on the platform. We have party game, we have a racing game, we have more sports game, we have a fitness experience as well, because we want Playground to be a physical play device for families. So we can really think about, like, how we create experiences that's really uniquely Playground, really experience where you would really engage your full body to play, and, like, really transform your TV, transform your living room into a Playground. That's what we're doing, and some of the content that will be available on it.
David Lee is our first half-hour guest this Monday afternoon. Tomorrow will be televised. He's the chief executive of Next Playground, the new interactive TV venture that premieres all over the place in the U.S. of A. and hopefully down the road around the world next month. He joins us live from San Jose, California this half-hour here on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon, I'm with you live from Nueva York, 50 degrees, top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04, my name. And if any of you out there, by the way, are using Next Playground on a test basis, we'd like to hear from you and your experience. So use the phone, use the chat room. Either way, you'll be able to interact with us. We have a big two-hour show coming your way on Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised. And for all you Dungeons & Dragons fans out there, you're going to like the first half hour. It's all about the brand-new Dungeons & Dragons Adventures channel that premiered recently on smart TV sets and smart devices. And no, it is not just reruns of those Dungeons and Dragon cartoons of decades past. There's brand new shows on it with more to come. We'll speak to a Hasbro executive about the formation and what's going to happen with that channel. And then we're going to have the two creators of the popular Amazon freebie series Pretty Hard Cases that will soon begin its third and final season. And then the segment we have been trying to get for the last month or so, finally we'll have it. Dude Perfect, the brand new network they have launched on smart TV sets and devices. We'll have Chad Coleman, one of Dude Perfect's members, plus we'll have the man who, with his organization Cadoodle TV and Parent Media Company, Neil Gruniger. He's the person that helped get this channel together, and we understand they have some major new announcements to make about the channel's upcoming programs. So So that will start our second hour. And finally, we'll do a deep dive into where artificial intelligence is concerned and how it will really impact television, both on camera and off. We'll have Sean King, Senior Vice President of a very interesting company called Ventone. It's all coming your way Friday, big two-hour edition, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. David, how did the Next Playground happen? What about your tinkering with Interactive TV suggested to you that this kind of project can work?
This is a great question. Thank you, Simon, for that question. So Nix have been there for quite a while. So we founded a company in 2017 with a mission to reconnect humanity with the George movement and transforming screen time into active play time and turning your living room into a playground. We've been wanting to work on this for a while. And the technology first became available on iPhone XS. That was back in 2018 when that device had a chip called A12 Bionic in it. And that was the chip basically have reached the breakthrough performance to allow the chip to process the video captured by the camera in real time and tracking motion very frame a second. So that is basically when the process is available. Actually, Apple put us on stage when they announced that, and we were building a basketball streaming app at that time. So it's all great. Like, wow, we managed to, like, you know, analyze video real time and tracking motion and apply it to a basketball streaming app. And then not long after, like, pandemic happens. And our app was downloaded millions of times, and lots of people download a basketball streaming app just to play our interactive training games in it. So that actually gives us the inspiration to, hey, let's just do more for the user. And when we focus on building motion games in 2019, 2020, our apps also download multiple, like, you know, millions of times and play hundreds of millions of times on a mobile. But very quickly, we also realized one thing, is that the screen on mobile is very small. So when you put down your phone and let your phone see your body, the phone becomes very small to see, to get feedback. So most of the user who actually enjoy our game the most go through the hassle, connect their phone to the big screen TV to play. And basically that's how we can, oh, wow, this is actually the real platform we will work on. It's not really the phone. The phone is great because it's a really, probably the most powerful chip. Processing power that you have is actually in your pocket. It's your phone. It's really, really powerful. But the rest of the device is not sort of catch up with that yet. But after that, like a few years, and the chip that is really designed for TV and set-up box became the catch-up with that capability. And that's how we start working with AM Logic, which is, I think, the major set-up box chipset provider in the world. And we partner with them and work with them on Next Playground and bring that capability that originally only on your phone, that really powerful capability to track motion onto a set-up box-like device that can turn your TV into a really what we call being 65-inch iPad that can really interact with your body and have sufficient processing power to process, you know, the camera input and convert that input into feedback that gives you real-time feedback live on the TV screen. That's how it came along, and we're really excited about the partner we're working with and how we bring this really amazing experiences that was originally only on a very small screen in your phone to the biggest screen for your home and converting your living room into a playground where you can really actively interact with that TV with your full body.
What kind of a role, David, does artificial intelligence play in your venture? We know that artificial intelligence in smart TV sets and smart TV devices have really become the trigger point for people to watch and use television in all sorts of ways, including playing games on their TV set through their voice, through a voice remote, with your thing, with their body language, because they can use either a voice application like Google Assistant or Siri or Alexa, or they can use a joystick aimed at the TV set without having to use a console like a PlayStation or an Xbox.
Yep. So AI definitely plays a huge role. It's essentially the core technology how our a camera input being interpreted, and we understand the motion from that. So how exactly that works? Let me kind of dissect it a little bit for you. So the camera capturing what's happening, like live, 30 frames a second. Basically, every second, you take 30 images live. And how then the system understand, oh, somebody there, somebody have moved, is that every one of these images will be sent to a special part of the chipset called an NPU, Neural Processing Unit. And on it, it actually runs an AI model that we train to understand, hey, there's an image here, help us find out, is that person there, and what's the body pose of that person looks like. So we go through that, we stitch up those images, and then now we understand there's a person there, and that person is moving. And how is it moving? Is it raising his hand? Is the hand reaching certain position? And we understand this motion, understand that, and then like have a game engine rendering the game graphics according to the capture motion by the camera. So AI play a really key role. It actually helps us understand what's going on, what's being captured by the camera. So that is basically the leap that was achieved back in like Apple A12 Bionic in 2018, and now that technology is available on Next Playground, that we can really fully utilize that to interpret motion and then change it into an input mechanism into games.
Next Playground is the interactive TV venture. We are talking about this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised with David Lee, the chief executive officer of this project, which recently was named by Time Inc. and Time Magazine as one of the top 200 new inventions of 2023. David joins us live from San Jose, California. And if a question or comment or remaining minutes with him, give us a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Earlier this month, we broke a news note that Sharp, the former smart TV set maker in the United States then moved overseas, is coming back to the United States using Roku as their operating system. We're happy to tell you that next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, this just in, we will have a Sharp executive on the program to talk about what they're doing. Will they come up with a multi-channel bundle beside the Roku channel? Will they do interactive programming? Will they sell interactive ads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So be with us when Sharp shows its smart TV cards with us next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. David, we had Dallas Lawrence, the chief strategy officer of Kelly, the super-duper smart TV set that's out to become the iPhone of television, will, on our program for the second time. We asked him, because you had told me at PepCom, that they are going to incorporate Next Playground into their offerings. Is that still the case?
So one, some of our games would be running on Teddy as well. So that would be, I think, for 2020, for next year. We actually have one of our games start working there, and we might bring more of our games onto Teddy as well when the platform becomes more mature.
So and what about Sharp?
I'm not sure about Sharp yet. So we are... Well, first of all, like Nix is creating games on the living room space. And Nix Playground would be probably, at the moment, I think the one of the best hardware to be running our games on TV space. We also have a partnership with Sky in the UK, where we bring some of our games onto the Sky Live platform, which is an interactive camera for the Sky Glass, which is a TV device. So they have an interactive camera for the Sky Glass device, and we bring our games onto that platform as well. We actually have more partnership with like the TV ecosystem because everybody looking for what will be next wave of innovations. We can bring to the consumers and camera enable motion experiences, motion control and motion games will really be some of the new innovation that can be brought into the TV ecosystem relatively quickly. So we actually have my partnership with TV partners like set-top box manufacturers, kind of how we can bring our games onto those platforms as well, and that partnership including our partnership with Tally, which some of our games would be running there as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the interest level among application developers who would like to partner with you on not just games but other interesting experiences that bring people together, whether it's dance activities or other activities that involve movement. I understand that there is an app developer kit out there for Next. What's the interest level?
So I think it's still quite early, I will have to be honest. And we have people who are very excited about these new interactions. They start partnering with us and bringing some of these experiences onto Playground. That's why we mentioned that we are working with a few studios already. They're all over the world. And the interest still coming in on a weekly basis that we have a few, like, you know, each of the partners, they imagine new experience they can create with Playground or with the camera that will be using our API to create. So we actually have our toolkit called Motion Development Kit that we made available for developers to build experiences for basically any device with camera, not just Playground. We provide this toolkit to developers to build games. And when you hear about their story, they're actually thinking about like a really wide range of experiences. We have somebody come in touch with us from Spain in Europe, and they are envisioning a pain therapy application where they can really want to kind of encourage you to move your joint in a certain way so that you can lubricate your joint to relieve some of the pain. And, you know, if you basically just, like, you're not moving, meaning that you would be more painful in some certain cases. So they're envisioning, wow, like, that's a very new way to use our technologies to create new kind of applications. And obviously, there's, like, you know, a lot of experience with game studios creating, like, we have a partner called Smart Games. They are based in Belgium. They've been building these toys that you actually sell you toys. I think they sell like tens of millions of boxes every year. And they envision how they can basically bring these, some of these puzzle-solving experiences to the big screen and involving collaborative, involving two-body. And always require two-body to kind of solve the problem together. And creating cooperative, like, family time puzzle-solving game, that would be one of the games called Galax will be on as part of the launch title set in Playground as well, and it's really, really innovative. We also have a partner with Hasbro. You just mentioned Hasbro, they bring in one of the most iconic brands, Peppa Pig. So in that game, you would be watching a little bit part of Peppa Pig episode, and so, Peppa Pig found a muddy puddle, and now you can jump on a muddy puddle yourself we are now controlling Peppa Pig to do it. So it's more like converting shows, which is like originally would have been one-way streaming, into more like interactive experiences. Whatever Peppa Pig's doing, you can do it as well. So some of these experiences, like, you know, really great. I think there's a lot of interest from different brands and developers to create new kinds of experiences possible. I think we're just really scratching the surface. And obviously, if you want to have massive, massive constant developer interest and adoption, then the platform need to be there. And I think it's still in the early stage of the overall platform right now, be it like ourselves, like Tally, Sky, which is a feeder of Comcast, like, you know, thinking about how we bring these experiences to more and more living rooms. It's still really early stage in terms of distribution, but I think in the next few years, the distribution would explosively expand, and there will be more developer interest in creating games or creating experiences for this new platform.
Mm-hmm. Again, we will have a Hasbro executive be on our show Friday to talk about their brand new Dungeons & Dragons Adventures channel, which is now playing on smart TV sets and smart devices. And again, it's not just reruns of their cartoons from previous decades. There are new shows on this and more new shows in the pipeline. That's Friday again. They'll be our lead guest, Week in Asia Pacific. Let's get a wrap on this, David. How do you see Next Playground evolving as more and more people take the service? Do you see, for example, the idea of educational experiences? Whether it is using the Playground concept to showcase various subject matter, or, for example, to introduce people to other cultures and other corners of the world, things like that?
That's a really good question. I think going into next year, I think what Next Playground gives us is a really total freedom to control every aspect of the experiences, like, you know, from the industrial design to the OS to the content, to how you interact with content. I think we can have a really complete curation of experiences. And we are really love to work with our users our user community, which is pretty active already on Facebook, even they're still anticipating to receive the device because we've been running several rounds of beta program that people actually have some devices, try it out, and they give us feedback on the experiences. And we actually, from their experiences, we start to know and where we should be focusing more on. And as you mentioned, educational would be one of the big aspects of one focus of our content creation next year. We actually have a really big partnership coming up, which I cannot talk about it yet, which will be announced probably in Q1 next year, to bring more educational experiences onto Playground. And I think this is particularly a really great way to use Playground motion control UI, because certain kids actually, they would learn much better when they are playing. And even learn even better when they're actually also moving their body as well. You know, some kids just like wire differently when they're being active, when they're moving around. You know, some kids may not be like, you know, really like be able to sit still for a long time, right? They would but getting moving actually really have them focus. So some of these education experiences that we create would be along those lines and like allowing youth body to kind of move around and be able to play and also learn at the same time as well. We are more kind of think about this is more like, can we create equivalent of bicycle for kids, which is something that is like is a challenge that you would take a while to learn, but as you grow, you actually more easily can grow into it and learn and master that skill. And a lot of this is like games is going to create to be a challenge, create to be something that you would need to master, something that you would need to solve, something that you would feel really, really good about yourself, feeling a lot more confident about yourself after you solve those challenges. So some of these educational experiences, that would be one of the key focus. Another two key focus that, you know, or three key focus that we're working on would be family time. We love, in a lot of our games, we want to kind of, you know, to bring people together. So a lot of our games have to have two players. Be it educational experiences or other category experiences, we would like to always create experience that can bring family together. So family time actually is a theme that would be pretty consistent around a lot of experience that we're creating. The two other category experiences I want to also mention, it would be sports, because it's like it's really huge fun, and you can bring sports home, bring sports to the living room, it'd be great. Our technology is just like really, really well suited to create sports experiences. And the third one is we want to create something for family, for the parents too. For parents with kids, and you know, the gym become less accessible, and how we can basically create these fitness experiences so that they can stay in shape, exercise at home, and this will be another focus that the company will be focusing on. And we want to create that. To conclude, we want to make Playground a physical play system for families. So we want to take care of the younger kids. We want to take care of the parents and adults as well, as we continue to grow the content library in 2024.
If you want to know more about Next Playground, about the experiences you can find and how it can work with your smart TV, Sarah Smart TV device, how you can order it, here's where you go online, www.nextnexincorporated, or Next Inc. That's www.nextnexinc. All details about Next Playground and how to use it and how to order it and have it be in your home, all there at Next Inc., N-E-X, Inc. David Lee, Chief Executive of Next Playground, thank you again for joining us. Good luck with your venture. Congratulations on the recognition from not only Time Inc., but from other organizations about your product. And I have a hunch we will be hearing a lot more from you in the months and years ahead.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, David. Take care. Have a super week ahead.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
David Lee, the Chief Executive of Next Playground, joining us live from San Jose, California. Before we continue with Tomorrow Be Televised, here's a message from Sun & Swell. In case you don't know, Sun & Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients like rolled oats, trail mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, nuts, mango, and more. So if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, shop Sun & Swell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com and use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISE at sunandswellfoods.com. When we come back, our classic trivia question and our special celebration of the life and greatness of Marty Krofft, one half of that dynamic brother duo, Sit in Mardi Gras. And Rick Webb, we'd love to hear your thoughts direct from Philadelphia. It's all coming up after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogsofray.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love fun music, check out the B-Side. One of BTR's longest-running programs comes your way again tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 in Pacific, the B-Side, right here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR comes your way 24/7, always at YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, and this portion of our program is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. Simon Appbaum with you live on this post-Thanksgiving Monday afternoon from New York, 50 degrees still at the bottom of the hour. We will be talking about the world of Mardi Krofft, who passed away Thanksgiving weekend at the age of 86. And we'd love to hear from all of you out there who enjoyed Sid and Marty Krofft's programming over the decades. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, like Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, is doing. So Rick, give us a call. Love to hear what you have to say about Sid and Marty's work. And we'll also tell you about the fact that Marty was on our program back in 2015, and we will tell you why. That's all coming up in a bit. But first, time now for our regular feature, the Classic Trivia Question of the Week. Second week, we are offering this particular question. We have six prizes in play, including two wonderful music CDs, such as the Chicago Greatest Hits with songs like If You Leave Me Now, Feeling Stronger Every Day, 25 and 6 to 4, and other wonderful hits. Plus, we've got two great, we have the Lifetime Women of Rock CD with songs by Cyndi Lauper, Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, many, many more greats. Plus, we've got two wonderful books for you. Jeff Melvoin's terrific book, Running the Show, Television Inside. Melvoin was the writer, producer, and showrunner of the hit series on CBS for many seasons, Northern Exposure. Won the Emmy Award for that work on the show. And we have USC Professor David Craig, who was on this program earlier this month, talking about his new book, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After Helped End the Cold War. And both books, both CDs, and other prizes can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name two of the three stars of The Name of the Game. That is the 90-minute anthology NBC series that ran three seasons, 1968 to 1971. Name two of the three stars of The Name of the Game. If you know the answer, email me, simonappleo4@yahoo.com. It's simonappleo4@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of the day, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on X and Facebook. X and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Facebook at Simon Applebaum. That's X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And Facebook at Simon Applebaum. One more time, the question. Name two of the three stars of NBC's The Name of the Game. SimonApple04 at yahoo.com. That's your email to use. If you're a previous winner or a guest of this program, you are not eligible. So let's see if on this post-Thanksgiving Monday we can get a winner. We haven't had one in a long time. So let's make this post-Thanksgiving Monday and week the time we break that spell and start a new streak, shall we? So let's make it happen. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so now and all the very best. Coming up next, our tribute in celebration of Mardi Krofft. First, a message from BlendJet. If your blender is bulky and an absolute pain to operate, I got an answer for you. Give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks an easy pleasure. In case you don't know, BlendJet is so portable to work up a smoothie at the office or your favorite protein big booster at the gym or poolside margarita. BlendJet is quiet to operate and rechargeable on the go. So what are you waiting for? Go to BlendJet.com, that's BlendJet.com, and grab yours today. And be sure to use the promo code TELEVISE to get 12% off your order and free two-day shipping, an amazing post-Thanksgiving deal. Again, if you use the promo code TELEVISE, you get 12% off your order and free two-day shipping. So don't wait. Blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. You know, when it comes to Masters of Television, with Hanna-Barbera being in the 60s, 70s, and 80s the masters of Saturday morning tunes, Sid and Marty Krofft were the masters, you could say the titans, of live-action Saturday morning television. At the same time, they also became masters during the 70s and 80s of primetime variety shows. And in case you don't know, Marty Krofft, who is one half of the brother duo, passed away from kidney failure this Thanksgiving weekend at the age of 86. So for most of the rest of this half hour, we're going to reflect on Marty Krofft's career, including a series that he showcased on this very program back in 2015. And we would love to hear from you and your thoughts about growing up on Sid and Marty Krofft programming, whether it was Puffin Stuff or Sigma and the Sea Monsters or Land of the Lost. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And remember, we'd love to have you on, and we also have to use you in our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our superfan from Philadelphia, is already in the room. So, Rick, if you want to give a call, love to hear your thoughts about growing up on Sid and Marty Krofft programming. Believe it or not, Sid and Marty Krofft and Hanna-Barbera got together to jumpstart Sid and Marty's career. How? Sid and Marty were the creators of the Banana Splits, of the Banana Splits Adventure Hour, which Hanna-Barbera produced for two seasons on NBC Saturday morning, sponsored by Kellogg's. Yeah, that's the tra-la-la song, the four Banana Splits, going to all sorts of these zany adventures. Plus you had like the Three Musketeers, Danger Island, and other Hanna-Barbera tunes as and live action shows as part of it. Well, Sid and Marty got their start in television after doing puppet shows in different places, both here in the United States and overseas, with creating the Banana Splits. And NBC was so happy with what they did, they told Sid and Marty, hey, make us a show with your own production company. And they did. And it was H.R. Puffin Stuff, starring Jack Wilde. Remember him? He won the Oscar nomination as the Artful Dodger in the movie adaptation of the Broadway musical Oliver. Well, he plays somebody who gets into a whole different world with all sorts of crazy characters, including Puffin Stuff and Winchy Pooh, played by the always terrific Billy Hayes, one of several productions that Sid and Marty Krofft would have her be part of. Puffin Stuff lasted 17 episodes, and it was going to go into a second season. NBC wanted it, so did Sid and Marty. Problem was, NBC gave an edict. If you make the second season, you got to do it on a lower budget than the low budget you're already using to produce the program. And, well, Sid and Marty said, nope, can't do it. No second season. So the 17 episodes have been running and rerunning. Although Sid and Marty did make a movie version that turned out to be quite popular as a cult fave. Nevertheless, NBC said, yeah, we love your work. We want you to do another show. The show was The Boogaloos, with Martha Ray as the villain of the Bug Band, if you will. That show lasted two seasons, although one season was original episodes, one was just reruns. And that got the Brothers Krofft going. And in time, if you wanted unique live-action kids programming that always had bright colors, unique worlds, crazy camera angles, funky people, funky villains, that was the place to go. Some people thought that Sid and Marty was trying to get people on a drug trip. Not so fast, Sid and Marty replied. We just want to make fun, imaginative, very colorful, unique kids shows. And they did. There was Lidsville with Butch Patrick as the star, Charles Nelson Reilly as the villain before he was on Match Game. There was Sigma and the Sea Monsters with Johnny Whitaker, formerly of Family Affair, which ran three seasons. Two were originals. And then there was, in the 1970s, the time when both Sid and Marty hit their stride with both primetime programming and Saturday morning programming. On the Saturday morning side, it was Land of the Lost. Went three seasons, which seemed to be the most that any Sid and Marty Krofft show would go, no matter what network was on. And the show was very unique because of all those dinosaur models, because of great script writing by people like David Harrell, the guy that wrote the Tribbles episode, the classic for Star Trek, and much more. And then there was, on the primetime side, Donnie and Marie. Yes, Sid and Marty put together that show, the first two seasons, made it a big hit on ABC. The Osmonds ultimately loved it so much, they took it over and kept it going on ABC for several more seasons. And then for ABC, Sid and Marty launched the Krofft Super Show, a very unique idea at times. It was a show that had three or four segments in the same hour, linked together by a musical group that included comedy star later, actor-turned-director Michael Lembeck as the lead singer. You had Dr. Shrinker. You also had the first female superheroes, Elektra Woman and Dinah Girl, featuring Days of Our Lives star Deidre Hall as Elektra Woman, Judy Strangis as her partner in comrade-in-arms, Dinah Girl. Also became a web series for a while, back several decades later. And then from there, there was the Bay City Roller Show. There was DC Follies with Fred Willard, the proprietor of a bar with all sorts of crazy characters. You also had a revival of Land of the Lost in the 1990s. And there was Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell Sisters on NBC. Ran two-plus seasons, showcased Mandrell, a wonderful singer, both country and pop. Plus, she was a good instrumentalist. Plus, she had her sisters involved. The show could have run even longer than it did, but Mandro got tired of the variety show gig and stopped. Again, it was like a two-season, three-season wonder. And when it was on, usually on Saturday nights, it did very, very well. For a while, Sid and Marty lay low in television during the 90s, did pilots here and there. And then in 2015, Sid and Marty came up with their first show for cable, Nickelodeon, called Mutt and Stuff. It was executive produced and featuring the son of Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, his son Calvin, who played this kid who loved dogs. And, of course, it had a dog whisperer kind of thing. Stuff, in fact, and Mutt were two of the dogs involved, played by humans. Marty was on our show in 2015 when the show was premiering on Nickelodeon, and I have to say it was one of the most delightful interviews I've ever had. You could tell that Marty was someone who just oozed fun, joy, imagination, moved by his audience with his brother Sid, who was older, and just loved making shows that would please anybody, that would be entertaining, highly visual, highly fun, no matter what the subject matter was. Mutt and Stuff ended up running two seasons on Nickelodeon, 70-plus episodes, and later they did a show for Amazon Prime Video, a remake, seven episodes, of Sigma the Sea Monster the next year, which they actually made the shows in 2016. They ran on Prime in 2017. No matter what they did, you always got the sense, watching their shows, that they were imaginative, they had a lot of fun, anything goes, silliness evolved, always colorful, whether it was the puppets, the unique special effects, the lighting, the backgrounds, incredible. And they did it. They did it on very limited budget. That was really the secret, a really special gift. To do the kind of shows they did and to get them out there on very limited budgets, nowhere near what you use for a primetime show, was really remarkable, whether the show was for Saturday morning or variety shows in prime time. And yes, there were some shows that didn't work as well as they thought. For example, Pink Lady and Jeff. Oh boy, what a program that was. Teaming this Japanese duo who didn't speak much English when they started with comedian Jeff Altman. And there were some shows that actually did better than you thought, like Far Out Space Nuts and Lost Saucer for CBS with people like Chuck McCann and Bob Denver. But no matter what they did, they were simply people who just loved entertaining. And they did all the way to the very, very end this past Thanksgiving weekend when Marty Krupp passed away from kidney failure at the age of 86. By the way, his brother Sid is still alive. He's in his 90s and, I might add, doing very, very well. And, of course, condolences to him and the rest of the Krupp family. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, good to have you. By the way, congrats to the Eagles on your super win in overtime against the Buffalo Bills. What a game. Everyone's calling it the game of the day, yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was a heart attack.
So, Rick, how will you remember Marty Krupp? How will you remember the shows that he and Sid did?
I grew up with those shows, so I love those shows. I mean, I would never miss Sigmund and the Sea Monster. And but do you know what? Part of why I actually called in was to ask you a question, because something I never knew, I'm just reading The Hollywood Reporter right now, was that the kids show, it said, was hosted by Richard Pryor based on his childhood. And I never, ever heard of that or remember that at all. And I'm just wondering what on earth that was, because I thought he had a really, really rough childhood.
Yes, the show is called Pryor's Place. It was made on CBS, made for CBS. It was on that network a very short time. It was probably one of the shortest runs of any Sid and Marty Krupp show, Rick, and it was not because – it was a great show. If people have seen episodes, and really, I don't think there's episodes on YouTube right now. I hope somebody gets – maybe in light of Marty's passing, we'll put them on. But people who have seen it will tell you it was one of Krupp's best shows, that it was very imaginative. It was based on his childhood. Pryor loved it. He had wonderful guest stars on it. He was very proud of the show. And because it didn't take off as quickly as the other Sid and Marty shows were, I think CBS canceled mid-season and replaced it with another show.
Wow. Wow. I'd love to see it on YouTube or anywhere. I never knew it existed.
Yeah, I think they made like 13, 14 episodes, about 12, 13 episodes. And I believe most of them did get on before CBS canceled it. At that time, by the way, original episodes of live-action shows, they didn't have like 22, 26 episode seasons. They had basically 13 to 16. So I think it was like they got like 12 or 13 in. They had a couple more. I know they made 17 of both their other shows, Puff and Stuff, Bugaloos, Simba Sea Monsters ran two seasons original, so they had like 30-something episodes. But again, Pryor's Place was around 12 or 13. And it's too bad. And again, I hope that somebody will, in celebration of Marty's passing, will find a way to get those shows on. Because what I understand, again, it was a great, great show.
Yeah, and I have another quick question for you. It almost seems like because the when they first started on television, they got renewed, but they didn't accept the offer. And then they ended up suing McDonald's because they were so popular, and McDonald's basically stole their look for like the Grimace and a lot of their characters. And then it said that it was like a seven-figure deal that they made. And I was almost like thinking, just the way the article was written, that maybe they made more money off something they didn't create and people copying them and suing than they actually did originally from their shows.
Yeah, I think what happened was that McDonald's had these ads with Ronald McDonald strolling around in like Pup and Stuff-like environment. And you remember Pup and Stuff. You know, it had all these wonderful flowers, this great blooming environment. The colors were so bright. The backgrounds were very bright. And I think they sort of tried to put Ronald McDonald in sort of a Pup and Stuff-like environment. And that's where they got. And that's where they had the lawsuit.
Okay, because it said that they won, which is amazing. You know, considering how big McDonald's is nowadays.
By the way, Rick, what was your favorite Krupp show?
It probably wasn't the best, but Sigmund the Sea Monster was my favorite because I think it came out like it was new when I was little. Or was newer, because the first ones I was seeing is more like rerun type of things. But it was newer, and it just really spoke to me. You know, I was really little. So, I mean, looking back, it probably some of the scripts don't make sense. But, I mean, he was like an underdog, and he was kind of hiding. He was cast out from his other tougher friends. I kind of grew up in a tough neighborhood. Definitely not near the beautiful ocean where the show was shot. But and it just sort of, I guess, kind of spoke to me a little bit. You know, and the tough guys would come along and they'd have to hide them in a cave or something like that. And it was just, I don't know, it was just magical. And, you know, and so much of the shows were so colorful, like you said. They were, like, so often instant hits. It was just like, what is this? This is awesome. As a little kid.
My favorite among the shows is Land of the Lost. I just think that show was so imaginative for three seasons, and they had good script writers. Really good. I mean, you get a David Gerrold coming off the Tribbles episode, and they also did the episodes of Star Trek, too, the More Tribbles, More Troubles episode, Star Trek animated show back in 1972. I mean, to get good writers like that to do a Saturday morning kids show was something very special. That's the kind of reputation that Sid and Marty had. Not only that, but to get people like Ron Harper from Garrison's Gorillas and 87th Precinct to be the father in the third season, or to get a Martha Ray, you know, this very popular variety show star and comedian in the 1950s, or people like Chuck McCann and Bob Denver in Far Out Space Nuts. I think it was a very underrated classic, too. It really says a lot about the way that Sid and Marty Krupp approached the whole idea of kids television. Like, give kids... have good stars involved. Have very interesting, good scripts. Have fun scripts. You know, be silly. Be zany. And they were the masters of that and nobody else in live action.
Yeah, I remember those sleeve stacks were scary when I was little when they first came on. It was like, whoa. It was like a little bit too dramatic. I don't know whether it was just I got used to it or people got used to it or whether they changed the music or something, but it just seemed to get less scary as it went on. And I think they got friendlier as it went on, too. But originally, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was the thing. They had very friendly villains. I mean, Witchy Poo was a you know, a very friendly Margaret Hamilton, the Wizard of Oz, or Jay Robinson. Remember him from The Robe? He played the, you know, go and meet your king, go and meet your king, in The Robe at the end of the movie. He's great, that performance. He played Dr. Shrinker in the Cross Super Show. Just delightful. I mean, you get the people really loved him. I'll tell you, Marty was, and Sid, two very, very special people in the history of, not just kids TV, but all of television. And Marty will be very, very much missed. He was a genius. And with his brother, even more of a genius. And thank God we still have Sid Croft still around. And hopefully, maybe like he'll be like Norman Lear, you know, make 100 and keep doing good TV.
I hope so, because, I mean, it shaped so much of my childhood and even beyond. And so much of it stays with me. I mean, Flea Stacks and Sigmund and H.R. Puff and stuff. I mean, I just see it, and it just, I mean, it, just looking at the pictures, it just like brings joy to me immediately. So I hope they continue on.
Absolutely. And by the way, there is a full-time channel on smart TV sets and devices. One of the last things that Cinemarty Croft did together was launch a channel with Cineverse called the Cinemarty Croft TV channel. It's available on smart TV sets and devices all over the place. For more details, go to Cineverse.com. And it's a great living testament now to Marty Croft's wonderful work with his brother, Sid. Rick Webb, thank you very much for coming on. We got to go. Thanks for your thoughts. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia. Thanks again to our guest, David Lee, from Next Playground, being with us the first half hour. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Again, big two-hour show coming your way on Friday with Hasbro and Dungeons & Dragons Adventures. We'll have the creators of Pretty Hard Cases coming with third and final season on Prime Video. We will also have Chad Coleman of Dude Perfect, and we'll have Sean King from Ben & Tone with All About AI. It's all coming away Friday. Excuse me, Snoopersick, right here on the Marvy Televised. Came in late on today's program. Want to catch up to that? Oh, you missed? Go to the homepage, blog.com/televised. And remember, love to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X or Twitter. We'd love hearing from you. We come back with you within 24 hours because what you say matters. The views expressed are those of the participants. They're not those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. Andy Toews, Beat Charge General Manager, Dave Sonderberg, Head of Content. Website certified by On Podium, the internet's great podcast outlook. Charles Bakus is our web coordinator. Marvy Televised is brought to you today by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go, wherever you go. And by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. For Marvy Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. Back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Wherever you're doing now and then this post-Thanksgiving week 2023, please make it safe and, of course, make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.